Our final devotional reading this week is by Edward Payson, an American Congregational preacher in the early 1800s, entitled, Do You Believe the Scriptures? It's based on Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld it, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. If you believe that two angels really appeared to the disciples and foretold the second coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven, then of course you must believe that he certainly will come as he declared, to judge the world, for those heavenly messengers would not assert a falsehood. And if it was a most wonderful and surprising thing to see him ascend alone to heaven in the form of a man, what a sight it will be to see him descending from heaven in the form of God, shining, resplendent in all his Father's glories, and surrounded by thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 angels and archangels, while at his summons all the dead arise and stand before him in judgment. This will be a spectacle indeed, such a spectacle as the world never saw, but if the Bible is true, we shall all actually see this spectacle. For its language is, Revelation 1:7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And if you believe the Bible, then you believe that you will see it. Believe that you will be actors in it. Believe that you, as individuals, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive your doom from his lips. And do you believe this? Are you living as if you believed it? If you do believe it, are you surely making it your chief concern to be prepared for Christ's second coming, prepared to meet your judge in peace? Is this your great concern? Are you living like accountable creatures who expect to be tried by the Word of God and to be rewarded according to your works? If not, where is your faith, and what is your belief in the Bible? It is nothing but a dream, nothing but a cold, barren faith, which, being without works, is dead. And if God has clearly revealed truths that are thus calculated to affect you, and the only reason why they do not affect you is that you do not believe them, then surely you are without excuse. To conclude, subjects like those we've been considering may be of admirable service to every Christian if he knows how to use them aright. You are all aware, my brethren, that this world is your great enemy, that worldly-mindedness is in some form or another your besetting sin. You also are aware that this world has many scenes and objects that to our misjudging minds appear splendid, many that appear imposing, many that appear attractive and interesting. By these scenes and objects, your passions are often excited, your affections entangled, and your minds thrown into a feverish state, which is exceedingly unfriendly to progress in religion. The great question is, how shall the pernicious influence of these worldly scenes and objects be counteracted? I answer, the world to come, the unseen spiritual and eternal world, has scenes incomparably more grand, more imposing, and more interesting than any that this world can exhibit. All that is wanting, then, is to bring them clearly before the mind. Let it be a part of your daily employment to do just this. Enter your closet, open the scriptures, and fix on some one of the many interesting objects that they reveal. The translation of Elijah, for instance, or our Savior's transfiguration, or his death, or his resurrection, or his ascension to heaven, or his second coming. Fix the eye of your mind attentively on the object selected, spread it out before you with all its attending circumstances. Then, when your mind is filled and your heart occupied by such an object, you may, relying on the divine protection, venture out into the world, and all its wealth and pomp and its pleasures will appear contemptible, indeed, compared with the scenes that you have been contemplating. In this way, can you maintain a successful combat with the world and finally obtain a decided victory over it? For until your minds are preoccupied by spiritual objects, the world will find them empty and rush in upon them like a flood. Let me beseech those of you who have not already done so to make trial of this method during the month that you have now entered. Be not discouraged should your first attempts prove unsuccessful, but persevere, and instead of faintly remembering Christ at his table only, you will remember him almost constantly. You will feel in some measure as the apostles did when they returned from witnessing his ascension and fortified by the powers of the world to come. You will be enabled to tread the present world under your feet.